Hi, everybody. Jeff here. Just a little FYI, Al had a few technical difficulties again with some of the crackling, but I've edited it down as best as I can, so it's more of just kind of a rumble, swelling thing in the background. You'll still notice it, but hopefully it won't be as grating, okay? But we've got a great episode for you this week, and we hope you'll enjoy it, so enjoy. Happy conference.
Just for you, sir, on your computer. It's not about the future, but it's all the way from Utah. No matter where you're from, you can download This Week in Mormons. Join Jeff and Al and round up your pals to bring a jello salad as you listen to my ballad. I promise you won't get bored as they talk more and 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 more about Mormons.
Hello, everybody.
All right. All right, you bunch of cowards. Jeff, you got something to say? You got something you want to say to me?
Not to
Welcome to This Week in Mormons. We hope you enjoy your stop.
And if you don't,
well,
it's your loss.
Get into the show.
That's Jeff. Right. We join you from the church administration building, from the offices of the New Apostles College.
We are
Mitt
parachuting down from the rooftop. As only a select few have ever done.
Yeah, you're gonna base jump from the church administration building, all like five stories of it, just hop right up.
Didn't that happen? I thought we had some base jumpers that did that.
No, that's the church office building. Yes.
Is that taller?
That's the tall one. The church administration building is the one across the plaza, the older one from the 19-teens.
That one you just jump onto a trampoline from.
Basically, that's one where you want to pull a Michael Scott and try to jump onto a bounce house. To
I think The Office is due for a rewatching.
I think it's due for a rebooting. We love rebooting everything. It's time to reboot The Office.
What if we got Ricky Gervais to come to America and do a series of The Office?
I hear he's good.
Yeah, no, it could work.
You never know, Jeff. Problem solved. We should be television executives, clearly.
Absolutely. I keep getting calls from people to do reality TV shows.
What, you got more? What did you get now?
More calls. And can I just tell you how terrifying that is to look at your family and your life through the lens of what a TV producer would think was worth going on a TV show?
Well, I mean, only discuss as much as you're comfortable discussing here in this forum.
It is the most terrifying thing imaginable because literally that one, you know, they'll record all day for that one time when you turn around and you say, "Hey, get a load of this guy, old one leg over here." And they're like, "This man's a monster." I can't live like that.
Okay. Would these be more dating shows? What
No. These are like Duck Dynasty sort of shows.
So it'd be an awesome reality show about the life of everyone in a quilt shop.
Yeah. I've got maybe 15 of these offers, and every time I say no because the value that would give would be so little, and the danger that it proves, because dude, with any family, when you're all still, we're all grown-ups now, and we're adults, and when we get together, I mean, we no longer fight like children, we fight like adults, and we argue like grown-ups. And there's some battles that go down. It's not very often. We're a good harmonious family, but every now and then, you know, that basketball game gets a little out of hand, and Jake climbs a wall.
You
know what I mean? Like, there's just some of that, and there's enough of that I'm like, we should never ever do this. Should never be a thing. It's scary, Jeff.
Okay.
Look at your life through the lens of what is a TV producer going to put onto a 30-minute show?
Mine would
tell
have
me you're not terrified.
Well, mine would have nothing interesting, as you know.
Well, so they would start to instigate and they would say, "Hey, you know what's weird? That guy Jimmy from work really stepping in on your wife here," and you're like, "Wait, what? No, not Jimmy." And then you're like, "Hold on. Now I gotta go fight him." And off you go. All of a sudden you're fighting coworkers and you didn't mean to. It wasn't your intention, but they needed the fodder.
They would never be able to film at my office. So
you're like, your life would be like Game of Thrones DC style.
That doesn't take much of a stretch. I mean, DC's a pretty cutthroat professional environment in general. I'm pretty sure.
House of Cards is Game of Thrones DC style.
Basically, is my understanding. I don't watch either program because I have a testimony.
I tried really hard to get into House of Cards. That's a tough show. That's a tough show. There's some pretty harsh content in there.
Yeah, I don't think you... I mean, we're not here to make people's decisions for them, but I think there's some pretty rough stuff in there. I mean, House of, you know, it would have a certain rating if it were a movie.
Yeah.
Not that the rating itself matters. It doesn't, but... I've actually been getting into Daredevil. I don't know if you've watched that at all, but that is some...
I'm sorry, is that the old show with Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck made the bad movie of Daredevil, but Marvel on Netflix, Al, Marvel is producing series that air on Netflix, and they made a show about Daredevil. It is a dark and gritty Marvel show, that is for sure. It is not happy little Avengers stuff. It is a grim, sad, violent tale. Very interesting, though, so far. It's not too shabby.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Right? That's what you wanted to hear on this Mormon show, everybody. Let me tell you about the violent show about the blind guy who beats people up. It's fabulous.
I'm sorry, Daredevil is a blind guy?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole premise with Daredevil is
I thought that was Jennifer Aniston or Jennifer Garner.
No, Jennifer Garner played Elektra in that movie. Daredevil himself is blind, but his other senses are heightened, so he can feel.
So he just tastes things really well.
Yeah, yeah, he can.
He's like, this donut is off the hook, and I'm fighting crime.
He feels fine. Exactly, that's what happens.
Okay.
That's lovely.
Well, how's your week? How is your life? How are
things
you?
Are you
obviously still doing this fatherhood jibber jabber.
Yes, Al. Awesome. Every week, like you say, I'm still doing the fatherhood thing. It's what's up. It's happening.
That seems fun. It seems nice. I can tell your enthusiasm conveys so much.
It's because this is a forum. Being a father to me is a very sacred, special experience, and I don't wish to drag it through the mud, through your light-heartedness.
Jeff, literally give it 2 years, and it's no longer a sacred, special experience. It's something that you are now a father. It is part of who you are. I'm accelerating this process. Get rid of this sacredness and get on to being a fun dad and quit being such a fuddy-duddy.
Have you seen my son? He is the cutest child in the world.
Yeah, I also see the pictures you take of him, and clearly you do not see fatherhood as a sacred, holy thing. Or you would not squish his face and take pictures of him pooping and things of
neither
that nature.
There is no photo of either one of those things.
Jeff, do not lie to your listeners.
I don't.
You make fun of your child at every opportunity.
I don't mind laughing at the funny things babies do. Because they're entertaining.
To use the quotes from our own Facebook page, Jeff, if you look up light-minded fatherhood in the Bible dictionary, you would find a picture of you. Of you.
Oh, we're wanding? Hold on. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. Okay, I've got mine ready. Now we can duel.
Whatever. People can't see this. You can't talk like people can see the video of us holding Harry Potter wands. So on our Facebook page this week, Jeff shared a very humorous video from a friend of a brother of a friend of the show. No, that guy had never seen the show.
Since I'm going to be your chief marketing officer, let me explain to you about this. Everyone is a friend of the show. Doesn't matter who they actually are in real life. Friend of the show. Friend of the brand. Okay, that's
As the Jamaicans say, respect and manners. And so on this, there was a very funny video of Thomas Monson clips making up the words of Bon Jovi, "Living on a Prayer." So clips of Thomas Monson in General Conference and things where he would say all the words, sort of the Jimmy Fallon doing Brian Williams. Fairly entertaining. I watched it at about 3 a.m. and sent it to Jeff and was like, this is great. And Jeff agreed, put it on our Facebook, and most people agreed with us. Very entertaining. Even though fatherhood is a sacred thing, they still found room to laugh at it, as Jeff should as well.
Sure.
And then there were a select few, though, this we have a couple of people on our Facebook page that I don't think understand what we're about.
They've never seen it before. Yeah, I mean,
if you look up like-minded in the Bible dictionary, you'll find a picture of this video. And then another guy says, I don't know how I feel about this, because when I watched it, I stopped and looked and remembered the spirit that was General Conference, and know that this, I feel, take away from that, the sacred part. Watch the video and look.
Keep reading. It gets better. Look at the background where his is standing. What he is doing, what he is testifying, what he is standing for is the prophet. Don't listen to the music.
This is just like our argument with you telling me that I can't make fun of
you. Watch it again.
Dad.
Instead, look at his eyes.
You are.
His composure.
This Sam
He is
fella.
There to give a spiritual message, not to sing Bon Jovi. Look, I don't refute that.
I don't know that he's there to sing Bon Jovi, frankly.
I don't believe he is there to sing Bon Jovi. I don't think that's what he gets up in the morning setting out to do. If we happen to attend conference this year, and
if Bon Jovi happens, you sing Bon Jovi. Am I right, people? If Bon Jovi calls you, you answer.
I mean, Bon Jovi has a song called Lay Your Hands on Me. If that is not an allusion to priesthood blessings,
what
I don't know
what
else.
What if it was Lay a Man's Hand on My Back?
That's a very different song, and that should be sung by that angry woman from Seattle from many years ago.
We have so many good... If you've listened to this show for a long time, I feel like we give you so many gifts. So many good references, and you're welcome 1,000 times.
Also, on that comment we just read, I like the ones before. The post about Tomas singing Bon Jovi. This was my comment on it. What was your reason to post it? We're going to answer to you, Samuel. We should respond to this and say, well, our reason to post it is it was funny, and so sharing. Also, we had another great one that came in because of it. This was so great. Where someone wrote it and said, hi, this was legible. I could actually make sense of it. I noticed that your recent post might go against Facebook's community standards about spam. You may want to take the post down before someone reports to Facebook. Okay, so we responded, okay, what is the spam here? I'm struggling to see how this is spam. And the response, one line just said, mom, and then the at symbol in another line. I don't understand what that means.
That, by the way, just for all you non-Redditors out there, is the most graceful way to lose an argument. Mom?
At.
This man robbed me. Wait, I did? Mom?
At.
You can't be mad anymore. You're done. So anyway, that was nice. So Jeff, in light of that, may I continue to mock your fatherhood calling and you just chill out, huh? And then what else did you do this week?
Accio podcast host. Well, my mom is still in town, so I've been hanging out with her. It's been great.
I like...
It has been an outstanding experience. Let me tell you.
Jeff, I want to be jealous of your life so bad sometimes. Mom came here. Can't hang out, guys. I got to go home. My mom's in town. Sorry.
I've actually not seen her a ton. I mean, she's been busy working, so it's not like we've been...
Bowling sounds awesome. I can't go. Mom's here.
Yep. I've got to be home before the streetlights turn on.
That's the rule.
So there's...
Well, that's fun.
There's been that kind of stuff, and, you know, whatever. I don't have anything... I don't have anything wild to report here or anything. Like, you know, stuff is grand.
Okay.
I watched the general women's meeting with my wife and my mom on Saturday. That was delightful. Wonderful times. I felt closer to the gentler sex.
What did they say at the women's meeting? I didn't get any of that. Wait, there's another comment. The comments on this video are the greatest. Isn't there enough satire in the world? No!
I didn't see that.
No, it's... Do we really need to impose it on our prophet? As soon as the video started and the music came on, the spirit told me it wasn't appropriate. That's amazing. As soon as you hear Bon Jovi, Jesus is going to tell
actually,
you.
Actually, hold on. Let's talk about some doctrinal things here. Will the spirit actually tell you something is not appropriate, or will you feel a lack of the spirit? Isn't that how it works? Doesn't the spirit testify of truth, not of inappropriateness? The spirit leaves when something is wrong. So clearly, if you were feeling the spirit, you were actually feeling a confirmation, because that's all it does. It doesn't, right? Sure, yeah.
She asked an interesting question. She says, would we be laughing if this were Jesus? Which, I don't know. I feel like Jesus would go along with the gag. I'm just saying. I don't know, but I feel like he'd be fine.
I have another thought. Also, if we were to, look up light-mindedness in the dictionary and see a picture of this, just to think about that, a picture of a video is a screenshot, and so the picture would just be President Monson speaking from a pulpit. So you're telling me that a picture of light-mindedness is our dear prophet testifying from a pulpit, then, in that sense. That's what I would say.
You've lawyered.
That was
well
some
done.
Strong
you beat,
lawyering.
You beat that weird Samuel.
I hang out with very litigious people, so it was very easy. So, but anyway, how's your life? Everything going well?
Oh, my gosh, Jeff, I can't even tell you.
Oh, tell me about all the amazing things. We danced in Hamilton, and we celebrated the fact
amazing.
That
we really did. So,
you're basically an oligarch.
So we had a big birthday bash this last week, so we had thousands of people in town.
I did not receive an invitation. Let the record show. I did not receive an invitation.
I'm sorry, you weren't invited.
No.
Please don't come.
I would have flown out there for it.
Do not come to this birthday party.
That's too late now. It's over.
You're not invited. Please do not
come. All right, fine.
So we had thousands of people. The gal that does our events, she was an old EFY buddy that I tracked down and was like, hey, come out and do this thing.
Hey.
She did. It was amazing. She ran it like an EFY for old people. Here was the great
sorry,
part.
Sorry, she ran it like an EFY for old people.
It was amazing. She had like a pinata thing going on. We had a cash vault, the blowing room vault, which was very entertaining. And we saved a lot of money on that because old people have very slow reflexes, and so the money was just blowing right by them, and they couldn't grab it fast enough. Then we had these dance-offs, though, that were so great. Because these women, well, and this is honestly, like, I love this, because it was like they were 15 again. They just didn't care. They were just out there. And I was with them. I was like, I'm going for it. Let's just get this dance thing on. And it was a blast. We had very much good time. And then on Sunday, they announced our steak.
We had very much good time.
I'm reading a Russian novel right now. It's very hard for me to keep
By the way,
up.
My Russian class is brutal. But anyway, that's not
my English straight. But then on Sunday, we split the steak. We announced the steak is splitting. They are creating the Far West steak.
That is impressive. That is cool.
Here's what's interesting about it. So probably 10 years ago, or no, when I left on my mission, we tried to organize the first Caldwell County branch that we've had back here in a long time, Caldwell County, Missouri. And we tried to get it called the Far West Ward, and they wouldn't do that. It was the Hamilton branch, and that was it. Now we do have a Far West Ward. They organized this maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago. 5 years ago, something like that. And now we will have the Far West steak, which is pretty darn exciting.
That's very exciting. Now, of course...
Like, honestly, it's one of those things. The rumor's been going around for about 20 years that this would be the case. And so to have it finally be a reality, nobody believed. It was the best kept secret from our steak president because, people had been hearing this literally for probably 15 years. And we're just like, yeah, all right, steak's going to get split now. I bet it is. Here we go. And then it's actually happening, and we're very
now.
Have you been?
You're on the High Council. Have you been involved in any of this in any way? Is this a thing that's in your portfolio, or is this just kind of a cool thing that you get to?
No. Like I've had minor projects that will support this. But what's interesting is that so when the new stake is organized, the High Council and the old stake, everybody that's up there will be moved, and so the High Council will be dissolved and recalled, and there's a there will be like 50 stake callings that will come out of the people that I know. And I'm like, guys, we know all of the people up here in these wards. It's just us. We don't have enough to do this. So I'm curious how this will all look. Like the stake president's weird. It's weird when you're old enough because like as a kid when the stake president's called, it's another old guy. And for sure he must be good. But now... Like these are people that we know and have worked with and known for a long time, and they will call a stake president from amongst them and will be like, wait, I know this guy. He's not the perfect magical stake president. Literally, still to this day, this has never happened where I, like, know the stake president that'll be called. So, kind of an interesting time. It'll be fun to go through the whole organization of a new stake and see how all that goes and all that.
That's exciting stuff.
My work along the way will be to usher. I will be ushering.
And the cool thing, folks, if you are listening for the first time, I mean, Al lives in hardcore church history turf. So it's a very big, I mean, Far West, you might have picked up on that. But that's
Far West, Adamondayama.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a big deal. I mean, that's been covered by a stake, but you're centralizing it even more. Some very classic areas of church history.
The Monument of the Three Witnesses will be in our stake.
We didn't go see that when I was last out there. Where's that?
No, it's down in Richmond.
Okay.
There's also, and I didn't know this, there is a monument to the 8 witnesses, but that's privately owned and in somebody's field somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So we need
we're
to find
working
it.
On that. We need we're to working find on it, cleaning that up. That's going to happen.
That's big news, dude. That's pretty exciting. Good for you.
Yeah, we're pretty stoked.
I'm excited for you. That is good church right there, folks. Good. That means, see, the bummer, though, is actually, no, it'll work because next year when they read the annual report, there will be at least one more stake added to that, and it will come from your neck of the woods.
You're dang right. You're
that
dang
is exciting. Where I live here in the D.C. area, we have a stake that needs to split, but we lack the infrastructure to take the plunge and do it. So that's kind of the holdup on our end. Our stake's got like 14 wards in it, I want to say, and it's ready. It needs to be split, but we don't have extra buildings. So I think they're working on.
We don't have the buildings either. I think the way that this works is it'll get split and then the infrastructure follows. They won't build a stake center and then reorganize.
That's what they're gonna have to. That's what they're gonna have to do in ours though, because all the buildings we have are completely just maxed out, and so they want to build a ease up on that. You've got some buildings in my stake that have 4 wards attending in them, so they want to. They want to be able to even that out a little bit and bring some normalcy proceedings.
Respect.
So someday that might happen out
and
here.
But
I don't know if it'll even happen while I still live in the stake boundaries or, you know, who knows what. But if it does, good on them. My stake is very culturally kind of divided by the Beltway anyway. Like, you have the northern part where I live, which is a little more urban, not as many youth at all. A lot of young couples, young families who don't stick around forever. South of the Beltway, a little more suburban, farther away, much larger youth programs. It's kind of like night and day. In many ways, it almost is two different stakes. Sorry, President Davey, if you hear me say that. I don't, like, mean it that way. But, you know, it's a little different vibe, but it's still a good stake. I like my stake a lot. So, yeah, but congratulations on beating us, farmers. You have beaten Washington, D.C. You have taken red state belief and come and assaulted America.
That's what President Monson always said. If you would like a stake, we will attack you with the North.
Yep. That's what I've heard too.
Yep.
So let's go.
Jeff,
yes.
We have General Conference coming.
That's what
week.
I was going to say too. We do have General Conference coming.
Oh, please. You say
my that. Exact words After were going you. To be, so we have General Conference coming up.
I agree. That's true.
I concur as well. Do you concur?
Well, I'm glad we had this chat.
Good episode.
So with this, there's a couple of things, as is the tradition of This Week in Mormons. We go through and we will make a series of conference predictions. So we'll talk of the themes and topics. We will speak of temples to come. We will speak of
apostles to come. That's the special one this time around.
Apostles.
There are some special circumstances this time. So lots.
Now, as we all know, apostles are called with a, it's a sort of a sorting hat that,
it sorts them into a house. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So all the 70 go through and the song is sung in the banquet hall of the great Gandalf.
By the way, if I may, I saw today in the news just on my feed, that because they still have the old Harry Potter set in the UK, you can go visit it. And so the Hogwarts Banquet Hall set, they're going to open up this year for Christmas dinner, and you can buy tickets and have Christmas dinner in the mess hall at Hogwarts. So everyone, plan your get your tickets now. Go to London, go to the UK, hit it up. That's all. So back after they're sorted, yes, then we, as you were, Al, continue. Tell us more.
So these are the things of which we'll speak.
There's a goblet.
I suppose we should start with the conversation around the Apollo. Well, first, before that, Elder Scott passed away last week.
Yeah.
And we had his funeral, and thousands attended. It was great to read some of the stories that people had of him, because I feel like Elder Scott was always perceived as a much more sort of sober man, sort of down to business, let's get things going. And he had a good sense of humor, a lot of fun stories, sort of a fun spirit about him. And so it was cool to read through some of that and get to be reminded of some of the other things he'd done besides the, all we know him as is a businessman looking guy in front of a bit of foliage every 6 months on TV. Like, very rarely do we get to see him outside of that. And so, it's kind of cool to remember him.
It was kind of funny. I saw an interview with his son who said that he wished people understood how much of a sense of humor his dad had. It's not like we saw Elder Scott as kind of a dour person or anything like that, but he almost kind of had an air of sadness about him a lot of the time.
It was just a seriousness that came. There's very rarely
And by the way, his son's name is Michael Scott, which is great. Hope his middle name is
no.
Kevin. Yes, but very interesting though. I didn't realize he said that. You know, he obviously, we know that Elder Scott loved his wife, Mr. Lott, never remarried. She died 20 years ago, but he never stopped talking about her in present tense. All these years later, he still used present tense to describe her, which is very interesting to me. It was never your mom did. It was your mom does, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
He missed Janine quite a bit.
So he passed away, which leaves three openings, three apostles that need to be called to fill the vacancies in the Quorum of the 12.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, well, and not to be crass, but I think we're okay to sort of conjecture about who and how and what all this is.
Well,
right?
If I may,
are you okay
yeah,
with this?
I don't mind talking about it just because it's kind of like we're talking about it just kind of for fun to talk about it. I think the main disclaimer here is we are well aware and we are firm believers in the fact that this comes from Revelation. From the prophet, working thinking it out in his mind and all that stuff. And we completely understand that, and anything can happen, and the Lord knows better than we do.
One input, the way that this actually goes is input is taken from all of the 12. They sit down and
You see what Elder Christofferson said about that? He talked about it a little bit last week. It was pretty interesting.
I didn't see his. What did he say?
Well, it was that, but what he said they do is because they don't discuss it, though, apparently. They all might write down any names they've thought of, and then they'll pass them along to President Monson, but they don't have any discussion amongst themselves. And then President Monson takes it to the Lord and does his thing. And then they ratify and this and that. Well, so I always kind of picture them more kind of having a bit of a back and forth and coming to consensus on a short list, if you will. But in actuality, I guess they all just individually submit what they're feeling. And I would not be shocked if oftentimes that falls in line with, you know, a lot of them thinking of the same people because the Spirit works in interesting ways. A lot of
it really does. Well, actually, I have several instances or something similar where you'll be discussing a name or you'll be looking through a list, and the one, you know, you're sort of led to that one. I have absolutely no doubt that the similar thing is, or well, that same experience that I've had with that happens on a much, much higher plane with President Monson. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people, so there's a little bit of a March Madness bracketology thing going around about this. We won't get too far into that. But if that's your thing, good on you.
I intend to get Vegas odds going on this thing. don't even.
Would they?
Would they?
They'll put odds on anything.
What takers are there going to be on that? I mean, come on.
That'd be funny. Some of the expectation though is that there would be a one of the apostles would be a foreign apostle, maybe somebody from South America.
There is a hope, I would say, among many. Yes.
And then, I mean, my hope is that it's Alex Boyer. I feel like the presence he would bring to the brethren, to have the black guy from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes.
I mean, that's next level. And you know they sing hymns at their stuff. Their meetings, they would love this. They would love Alex Boyer. And so if I may, he is my number one choice. Jeff, do you have a number one choice?
Alex Boyer was actually not my number one choice, so I'm very impressed that you...
Second tier for you, huh?
Sure. You just don't want to take out one of the token minorities from Motab. You've got to keep that mixed up a little. You know, is it worth pulling him out for the greater good of the church? Who's to say? I have no idea.
No one's to say.
I do enjoy. We'll post a couple of these articles. By Common Consent has one called "Bench Strength Predicting the Next Three Apostles," and then another one right here at Approaching Justice.
Their tier ones are Ronald Rasband. From the 70s.
Who is the senior president in the presidency of the 70s? Been there longer than anybody.
Then Walter F. Gonzalez.
Who's from Uruguay.
He's our South American.
Well, then you've also got Ulysses Soares, who's from Brazil, who's in the presidency of the 70s. So he's been there for 3 years. And there could always be the surprise calling.
Their caveat with Soares is that he has no middle initial. This is unheard of.
I know, it's kind of funny.
In apostledom. Never happens.
Yeah, they basically say, sorry, buddy, you're not going to make the cut.
Now the other one that I would actually, who I like a lot is Kim Clark. I mean, I'm trying to think of people that, like, I would enjoy listening to talks and you know, here's what I'm expecting is that this sort of new fourth of apostles to come in will bring a big chunk of energy to the apostleship, to that quorum, because that's, I mean, they've slowed down in some of the travel and some of the worldwide touring and stuff, mainly because I think it's a hard schedule to keep, and they do
it's a
amazing
grind. Yeah,
they do, but it is a grind, and so having some younger bucks in there to take some of these assignments, I think would be something we should expect to see, I think.
So let's see other ones. So I Rasband, you hear a lot of, sorry, I should be appropriate, Elder Rasband. Kimby Clark would be interesting. Some people talk about Claudio R.M. Costa, who has two middle initials, so he could give one to Elder Soares and balance it out.
If you could call them both at the same time, it all washes out.
Another one I've heard thrown around quite a bit, though, is Gerard Cossé, you know, the French brother who used to be in the 70s. Now he's in the presiding bishopric. I've many people I've talked to have kind of just thrown his name around. He seems to be at least on people's radar, if that means anything. Obviously, I, of course, not to say I would pull for anybody.
Larry Echohawk.
I've also seen a lot of Larry Echohawk. That seems to be a popular one from a lot of people. And also Shane M. Bowen, everybody. I mean, come on. Shane Bowen is in the first quorum of the 70s.
Oh, yeah, you always say that.
He is currently over the Philippines, and he was the mission president of the Spain-Barcelona mission from 2001 to 2004. No, sorry, 2000 to 2003. And he's a wonderful man. And so that's all. So I don't know. There's a lot of names here. I actually like the By Common Consent article quite a bit because it breaks down a lot of the other metrics involving the apostles, like the average age at which they've been called, any noticeable differences during various prophet tenures, like the fact that President Monson's called two apostles. Both of them came from the senior ranks of the presidency of the 70s. That doesn't mean there's a full-blown precedent necessarily, but both Elders Christofferson and Anderson weren't just in the 70 or presidency in the 70, but they were at the top end of seniority within the presidency of the 70 in that quorum. So that's interesting. If there's anything to pull from that, that would put people like Elder Rasband high on the list, of course. But who's to say? Also, our own Joseph Peterson wrote one over at Approaching Justice where he called it October Madness. Same idea. Goes through some people. A lot of the ones we've talked about. I like one that Joseph mentions here, though. Edward Dube. You might remember Brother Dube. He has been in the 70 only for about 2.5 years, and he is from Zimbabwe. So that would be a bold move, because people would, you know, hey.
Zimbabwe would be amazing.
Apostle from Zimbabwe, or I believe as he describes it, as Joe says it, there's just no delicate way to put this, but we need an apostle who looks at the world in a totally different way and context than a farm boy from rural Idaho. I give you Edward Dwoob, a farm boy from rural Zimbabwe. So there we go. W. Craig Zwick gets thrown around a little bit. You know, Kimby Clark. Michael Otterson, the church PR head. Imagine that one out of nowhere.
Now, there's it's not unheard of to just have a stake president be called. This Spencer W. Kimball, I believe, was serving. He was called to be an assistant to the Quorum of the 12 from being a stake president down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And so the idea that this whole concept that you think you know where you're going with this stuff, and
of course,
sort of a,
there's no way
bracketology to it. Absolutely not. They may just call, you know, whoever to come up into the ranks. And
because the only other recent non already extant GAs who were called, we had, of course, Elder Bednar, but he was president of BYU Idaho, and then we had Elder Holland eventually went to the 70 after BYU, so that one's not spot on. And then at the highest ranks of the 12 now, both Elders Nelson and Elder Oaks came just out of nowhere. There are most recent other examples of just they were not in the church apparatus. Elder Nelson, in another article, actually was kind of reflecting on his time in the 12 and how was just doing his rounds at the hospital. And then they called him in they called him in and said, hey, can you meet with the first presidency? And he said, sure, where do I go for that? Because he says, that's how green I was. I didn't know anything. I wasn't part of that system, you know? And they...
Elder Oaks was... he was a judge at the time.
Elder Oaks was a judge at the time, yeah. So things have happened. And by the way, I highly encourage a nice read of that Elder Nelson profile at Deseret News. It was pretty interesting. I didn't realize when he was called, President Hinckley was then in the first presidency. And he told President Hinckley after he was set apart, like, hey, I'd committed already to like go to China for a month and teach some medicine and stuff. And President Hinckley just said, so like, did you give them your word? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay. He's like, well, fulfill that commitment then. Go do it. So after he was set apart, he went to China and did medical teaching for a while, which is kind of kind of interesting. A lot of, some interesting stories in that piece. So I encourage everyone to, we'll post it on our page. So go to thisweekinmormons.com, give it a read. It's kind of cool to see Elder Nelson just kind of talking about his time, the 30 odd years he's been in the 12. So to reiterate, just as no man knows when the second coming will happen, no man knows except for Julie Rowe.
Now talk to me a little bit about the temple predictions. Will we get any new temples this time, Jeff?
Okay,
you were 2 for 3 last time or something very accurate.
I did very well last time. I had a number of predictions, but some of my top tier picks were Bangkok, Thailand, which was announced, and Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. The one I did not think of at all was Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Didn't see that coming in the least.
Out of nowhere.
So I've been a little busy, and I don't believe I am going to have time to put out a full-blown prediction article like I have the past couple of conferences. That's okay. So I refer you all to the wonderful ldschurchgrowth.blogspot.com, where they maintain their own predictions and people talk about them and stuff. So you can check out some of those there. Many of them are holdovers from ones they've discussed and also ones I've mentioned in the past. So you've got a handful in Brazil, Belém, Belo Horizonte, however you say it, Brazil, Davao, Philippines, which is the southern Philippines, Guam, Harare, Zimbabwe could happen, Layton, Utah, I still believe in. I also still believe in Managua, Nicaragua. Pueblo, Mexico could be a possibility. And Rogers, Arkansas is popular because it's a central location farthest from any other. There's this kind of island around the, basically around the Ozarks and such, where there's just no temple anywhere nearby.
What about something like San Luis Obispo, Jeff?
I've seen that thrown around and thought of that. From what I can tell in California, I don't see the ground being fertile completely for an eighth temple in California at this point. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything. But if one were to go in California, that is one of the few places I could see one making sense at this point. Unless the church really blew up more in the Central Valley and Fresno couldn't hold it and they had to put one in like Bakersfield or something. But
never going to happen.
Probably not. But San Luis Obispo could be interesting because there's church out there. But it is reasonably isolated.
You got a good chunk of the Monterey Bay that would go that way.
Well, if you're up in Monterey Bay, I think you're up in Oakland district, but maybe you'd go to.
We are. When I lived out that way, that was still like a 4-hour drive to get to Oakland, though.
Well, no, from Salinas, it's like an hour and a half.
Maybe I remembered it longer.
Because we drove all the way from Salinas up past Oakland and went all the way up to Petaluma, if you recall once. It was not 4 hours. But
it seemed a long time.
But San Luis Obispo or that area would be interesting because everyone out there or Santa Barbara farther south, you're a ways away from the LA Temple and that's your district, or you're a ways out of Fresno. But there's nothing super close.
So I think we both agree on Layton, Utah. Unfortunately, Layton. The blogs or the LDSChurchGrowth.blogspot. They suggest Kiribati, which.
Or Guam, yeah.
Guam or Kiribati would be. I would be very surprised. Very surprised. But you never know.
One of the ones I forgot though. I'm still pulling for either Richmond, Virginia, or Hampton Roads, Virginia. Somewhere along that corridor.
Probably. Really, you can't even get buildings for your new stake out there.
No, that's down in.
What make?
That's a far. There's a decent amount of membership throughout the rest of Virginia, and that could because a lot of them pertain to the Washington D.C. Temple, but they're 3-odd hours away, so I could see that happening. Strong military presence in those regions usually means which usually means decent sized church.
Strong
membership.
Military presence. They can protect the temple. That's what you need.
I like someone here that predicted putting one in New Zealand, but there already is.
I was talking to some friends out. That are in the Philadelphia Temple District. And Philadelphia and Rome, I guess, were announced the same time, and the Rome Temple will be finished before the Philadelphia Temple is.
Hmm.
How bizarre is that?
How bizarre. How bizarre.
Freewheeling in the front yard.
By the way, if you're interested in some very interesting discussion about California temples, the comments at the LDS Church Growth page, lot of California centric discussion on there, so that's worth a look, listeners.
Oh, they love it. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, lastly, just like topics for conference, is that what you were gonna go to? It's just anything
yeah.
you feel
yeah.
might
well,
be discussed?
Conference predictions. What will they speak? Of what things will happen?
I'm pulling for more glasnost. We're gonna talk. We are gonna have discussions about polygamy from the pulpit.
What?
We're gonna take it to the next level.
Okay.
It's happening, Al. Maybe not, but I like to believe that it's happening.
I'm curious how the tone on gay marriage or on just homosexuality in general, how that shifts with no more Elder Packer and
true.
You know, okay, well, because that was a big topic for him, and as the new guys come in. I mean, what does that look like? Now, those callings to the 12, those are issued in the afternoon session, right? So the morning session will
usually, but I was talking about that with some people. Under President Hinckley, when he had to do some of these, usually it came when you read in all the authorities for sustainings,
yeah.
and then they would just announce the 12 and then just get at the bottom. They just announce the new ones along with it. But I think when Elder Anderson was called, instead, President Monson just announced it in the first session on his own. So I'm not – who knows? But I also don't know if President Monson will be announcing it because he's kind of trying to tone down his workload during conference now, which we know. And he usually leaves the sustainings to President Uchtdorf and makes poor German accident President Uchtdorf struggle through all these Hispanic names. And it's very comedic. It's funny.
You should put Eyring up there who's pro with that stuff.
So I don't know. So, yeah, maybe it'll be interesting to see about that sort of if we keep I the way it's been going, I imagine there will be more talks about religious freedom and the importance of that. That's been a thing of late.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I want a good talk about tithing. I would love
that. What about a talk about the signs of the time with Julie Rowe
My understanding is that because there are three apostles down and they're not sure if they can fill those, that's almost 45 minutes of general conference between three apostles, Julie Rowe will be given a slot.
That was crazy. Like, there was a lot of people. Literally, there were people that were out in my area expecting the world to end.
the whole blood moon thing, man. People are, I just do not understand it. Maybe do I lack faith, perhaps, that I don't take any of it seriously? I don't know.
Well, I think as soon as somebody starts claiming that they know and the church does not, that's when you can be pretty sure that it's not a real thing. I mean, that whole no man knoweth, I think that's a real deal. And yeah. and that Christ would just be like, well, you know, it's a blood moon. I hate to pass up a good opportunity like this to end the world. Let's do it now. You know, I don't think that's really what's constraining him to come and rapture the world away. You know, what's interesting to me, it's always bizarre when this stuff comes up, because there's a part of me that forgets that this is a real part of our belief. Does that ever, can you empathize with that at all?
Yeah, absolutely I can, yeah.
I remember when I went and saw the Hill Cumorah pageant, it was the first time I'd ever tried to visualize Christ coming down from the sky, and I was like, whoa, I kind of forgot that we actually believe that's a real thing. I mean, we believe it and we talk about it, but to visualize that happening, it was almost foreign to me. And so when this stuff goes along, there's a knee-jerk reaction. It's like, girl, you're crazy, you've lost your mind. And then I remember, I'm like, actually, at some point, this happens. This actually happens, and this is how it goes.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I forget all that stuff. And the Julie Rowe thing was fascinating because of the failure of all of Rapture and such. She's sort of backed off and said, "No, I'm done. Going to be with my family."
She said, "All of your healings are null and void. The contract is done. I gotta focus on me. You do you. I'm gonna do me." And then she ended with the words, "Peace out."
And it's so disappointing to me, because it got so far that we know originally she got really popular because her book and her name surfaced on the list of, you know, condemned materials or whatever for the Church Education Service. But it got as far as actually having to have church PR people comment about it and remind the membership to not take stock in what was going on. And I imagine this was not as widespread as perhaps it seemed on social media at the time, because I think a lot of things get amplified on there beyond what is the reality. But I also know that, a lot of the emergency preparedness type organization places and stores in Utah were running out of stuff on their shelves. People were going crazy. And if you actually went to Emergency Essentials, they had an article about the blood moon, which I thought was preposterous. Where they said,
just fear mongering, Jeff.
It said, is it astronomy or is it prophecy? They're like, we'll let you decide, but better to be prepared, right? And just say, like that's how irresponsible is that? We are capitalizing on people's fear of the second coming, basically, or of the rapture, of Armageddon, whatever, to further our businesses, which is both struggling for that. And of course, Julie Rowe in the same boat. The thing to be careful with about Julie Rose, I don't discount the fact that she could have had experiences. I think people have very personal revelatory experiences in our church. I don't think that's a weird thing at all. I think people have them and don't talk about them a lot of the time.
Agreed.
But so that's the hard thing where it's I'm not one to say she clearly didn't have this, but it's her that kind of almost trying to speak for the church and saying, get ready, everybody, it's coming, because she is not authorized to give that revelation to
I think where she started misstepping is when you, again, similar to the ordained woman thing, you start amassing followers for yourself. She was selling her special healings and things like that were, you know, $29.95, and you call her conference call line and you get, she'll give you a healing, you know,
call Miss Cleo. Yes. Miss Cleo.
She was capitalizing on this experience, which right away makes me a little bit more suspect. And in my experience, you know, those sort of moments or those experiences that you have, very rarely is the instruction to go and try and preach against what the church is saying at the time. Never, in fact, historically have we had that in our church. And so I think there's plenty of room for personal revelation, but most of that is you, your family. As soon as you try and impose that onto a body of the church, you're gonna be in trouble. You're gonna be doing it wrong.
It's risky. And of course, we don't want to conflate Julie Rowe with what Kate Kelly went through, because Julie's in a different boat. I mean, she did write a book, but she also wasn't, like, you know, agitating for this and that and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't see her getting.
Yes,
do you
no.
see? Yes and no. But, like, do you see her getting disciplined by the church? Or
no,
or
if, I don't actually.
Or if she does not get disciplined by the church, do you feel like that is weird in light of people like Kate Kelly and John DeLynn, and that Julie Rowe, from what we've seen, merits it just as much, even though we're not stake presidents or judges in Israel with a place to actually make the call. Would you ever see it that way? Like, hey, what the heck? We're going after the left of center ones, but we're not going after the rapture mongers? Is that a thing? I don't know. I haven't thought about it too much right now. So I'm fleshing it out in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some other quick mentions for you. By the way, I love this one. The General Conference Mirth Index, a lovely, brilliant man named David Evans, just basically calculated all the laughter from the last General Conference and then rated it at laughs per hour per session. And you can then see in graphic form which sessions get the most average number of laughs. Priesthood is far and away the highest because we have a jolly good time when we put the ladies away. Am I right?
It's such a romp, you guys.
You get in there and everyone's like, oh, my old lady. Let me tell you.
It's all ball and chain rhetoric.
It's all it is. And then the women's session has the lowest laugh quotient, which is
really for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all tears.
And it only bounces up in the sessions when President Uchtdorf is the speaker, not President Eyring, which is kind of
ladies, sad. Lighten up, huh?
And then lastly, on the other side, which talk gave the most laughs? So he broke up all of the conference remarks. And pretty interesting.
Who got that one?
Elder Anderson from the Saturday afternoon session had the most laughs. Elder Anderson is not one I think of when I think of laughter at conference.
Well, he wasn't even serious yet. He was just like, all right. Let me do my 5 minutes of material, and then we'll talk some spiritual stuff. Let's go.
Oh, maybe that was the different Anderson. I forgot two different Andersons spoke. Because then there's Elder Anderson from Sunday afternoon, who...
No laughs.
Who had very few laughs. And he's followed by Elder Oaks and Elder Holland. So I wonder if this was the different Elder Anderson.
Elder Oaks surprises you, though, because Elder Oaks is traditionally zero laughter. And then every now and then he's like, let me show you the softer side of Oaks. And it's all jokes all the time.
Hey,
quit hanging out. You guys gotta go and get some more loving in there.
Elder Holland, of course, had the lowest number.
That was my impression of Elder Oaks.
It's because Elder Holland gets up there and basically dares you not to cry with him while he's talking, and I love it.
Elder Holland, he can go either way too. I laugh and cry almost every Holland.
He's reliably one of our heavies, but in a good way. Like, Elder Oaks is kind of a heavy in that he, like, throws down the boom. Elder Holland is a heavy in that he just tears out the emotions and the spirit.
Here's your challenge, Jeff. For every speaker of this conference, I want you to predict their walk-up song.
I thought
so
it was
Elder
just...
Oaks, like a baseball walk-up song. Elder Oaks would obviously be Here Comes the Boom. But the Henry Van Winkle.
Well, almost everybody is going to be the Chumbawamba song. They're also going to be like, I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Like, all right, here comes Sister Burton coming up to Chumbawamba tub thumping.
No, Sister Burton would be, come to my window. Walk-up songs would be really fun for General Conference. Let's not lie about this. That would be very exciting. As long as somebody gets a Let It Go in there in some way, that could be good. Elder Bednar surprises all of us by when he walks up there to death metal. And he just starts walking up and it's like, shocking everyone. That finely parted hair.
Do you ever have that moment, like when you walk outside and in your mind you're like, life just really needs a soundtrack. If this were playing back in a movie theater somewhere, here's the song, you know. And as you walk out, you're like, who made you? And you're like, yeah, today's the day. Let's go. I want that remix. I want conference with that, with the walk up song and the applause from the crowd and the, like, just one time.
Well, I have a soundtrack going through my life. Soundtrack is basically the soundtrack to Interstellar. I'm walking around and I get drowned out by loud, droning organ music. That's all it is. I just walk around.
Hans Zimmerman. He's the only one that gets you.
That's all it is.
He really is.
Let's see. Another quick one here. Yeah. The Church History Museum is reopened. It closed a year ago. And it's back open just in time for conference. Perfect timing.
Oh, neat.
Calculated timing, I'm sure. And they gutted the place. I like that Elder Holland was very matter of fact. He said the old exhibits were tired. I've never even been to the Church History Museum, sadly. But lots of new interactive exhibits, number of cool things. Apparently even some parts given over to polygamy to talk about the church's history there. So I like that we're embracing what was and just acknowledging
finally.
It and saying this finally. Was what happened. Yeah. So that's cool. I'll check that out next time I'm in Utah.
Also, if I may, James E. Talmadge wrote a book one time called Jesus the Christ. And today, Jeff, or this week, it turns 100. Jesus the Christ turns 100 years old.
It is a good book. I haven't read it for a while. I probably should.
Well, I say this year you read it one time for every year old it is. Go.
Are you serious? That's a lot of reading. That would take that's impossible.
Here's the trick. Just read each page 100 times as you go. It's much faster.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. It's only like a 740-page book. It'll take no time at all.
All right, everybody.
740 pages.
We are excited for conference this weekend. We are hoping that you will join us on the Twitters, at The Real Twim, or on the Instagrams. We'll do our best to be active there. Jeff is much better at this than I am. I have a hard time balancing Twitter and paying attention.
I try to find the balance. That's a fair discussion to have. It's sometimes hard to it's hard to make those both work together where you're still getting everything out of conference and not so worried about managing a Twitter stream. Which is funny because the church itself encourages us now to hashtag it up and do what we want to do. So who knows?
It's fun.
But we will be there. We will be there. We will be posting also on Facebook. For the most part, we will be up on the Twitter and stuff. So we enjoy interacting with all of you on there if you show up.
Yeah, please come say hi.
Now, also, if you have hate mail for us because of the videos we post, because of the fact that we declared because we declared Harry Reid an apostle, for example, as a joke, all these things, you can send us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. You can message us on Facebook, which is fine. But if you send us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com, it will forever live ignominy in our inbox, which is wonderful.
Any hate mail you may have is much appreciated.
Yeah, we actually enjoy it. To be honest.
No, the spelling, everything. I mean, just whatever you're doing, people, keep doing what you're doing.
I like it when it's unintelligible more than anything. Yeah. And also, thisweekinmormons.com is where we reside. We're there.
Lots of great articles all the time. Thank you, Jeff. It's been a joy to be with you today.
Thanks, buddy, and a joy to be with you too, my friend. I hope you have a great time with conference this weekend. I always look forward to it. It's going to be good.
I will. You're welcome and good.
Okay.
All right. Well, see you, everybody.
See you, Al. Everybody, thanks for listening to TWIM. We hope you have a great general conference. We'll talk to you again next week where we will probably go over.
Be happy. Be ogreish. And be hungry.
Yep. All right.
This week in Mormons. This week in Mormons. This